Now, in a moment, we'll find out about the documents that hijack your computer when you read them. But first, sticking with mobile communications, what could your mobile phone be telling criminals about you? We're joined now by Daniel Cuthbert. He's from UK and South African security company SensePost. Hi, thanks very much for joining us.
Good evening, thank you.
Now, I've just come back from 2 weeks off in the US, touring around, talking to some scientists, and I have pretty much logged on to every free Wi-Fi network that's going. I'm starting to maybe get the feeling from the look on your face that was not such a smart thing to do. So what information could hackers get from my mobile phone, and how could they do this by me using things like free Wi-Fi?
So I guess the short answer is a lot. The way that we use our mobile devices today has changed. We're no longer using a laptop or a PC to do online banking, online purchases, you know, browsing our social media. We're using these mobile devices. And unfortunately with that, we're also using Wi-Fi. You know, as James just alluded to, you know, Wi-Fi is pretty much everywhere these days, from the Internet of Things to petrol stations, etc. And the promise of free Wi-Fi, especially when you go abroad, you know, with roaming charges what they are.
It's ridiculous, frankly.
It's almost criminal. You know, it's quite nice to use. You know, you can stop into your local Starbucks or your McDonald's, or if you see something that says free internet, well, why not? I can just quickly jump online, check my PayPal balance, etc. The problem is, one, you have no idea who controls the information that's passing between your phone, the access point, and to the rest of the internet. And there's no way of you really telling. And two, the information going out there could be your credentials, your Gmail account, your banking details, and anything else that your phone sends out. Now, the problem is your mobile phones are quite chatty. You know, so when you connect to the internet, all your applications, all your social media apps, all screaming out to everybody going, hey, I'm here, give me some updates. And if there's some evil person sitting in between, there's a very good chance that they're getting that information too.
So now I'm kind of scared. So how could someone be doing that? How could they be intercepting? So, you know, for example, I was in a Starbucks in Manhattan. So how could someone, and I logged into, you know, said Starbucks Wi-Fi, how would someone be intercepting what I was doing there?
Are you sure it was Starbucks Wi-Fi?
It said it was Starbucks Wi-Fi, and I got like the Starbucks thing came up.
We're very trusting when it comes to the internet. It's one of the mediums that attackers exploit. That, you know, just because it says it's Starbucks, well, it must be. Traveling here on the tube, you know, I passed a number of access points pretending to be Vodafone Wi-Fi. I have no idea it's controlled by Vodafone, but it says it's Vodafone. So what attackers can do is they can pretend to be these networks because you're trusting. And there's a very good chance that you've connected to these networks before. So it's very easy to do a jargon thing, rogue access point, where I pretend to be another network and give you internet access.
And I guess like a lot of phones now, they'll automatically connect to something if they think they've seen it before.
Yes, it's called your preferred network list. So it's a usability issue. You don't want to have to keep on remembering, say, right, I want to connect to Starbucks free Wi-Fi or Vodafone free Wi-Fi. Your phone goes, hey, I've seen that before. Let me connect to it. You know, she wants to connect to the internet.
Now, I'm still even more terrified. So how likely is this to be happening to people? You know, so I've logged on to maybe, I don't know, 10 free different Wi-Fis in the past couple of weeks, or someone who's sort of every day they're logging on somewhere. How big a risk is it realistically?
It's very hard to put a number to it. 2 years ago, we released a piece of research that we called Snoopy, where we looked at this risk itself, you know, how trusting are people. And during our test cases, the vast majority of people did connect to our rogue access points and browse the internet. Now, we were doing nothing illegal, but if we were doing it, there's a very good chance that the criminals are doing it, because it's actually quite easy to do. And the benefits and the yield that you get from doing it are actually quite lucrative at the moment.
And, you know, is it just people say, oh, well, you shouldn't obviously do your online banking if you're in a coffee shop? How bad can something like checking Facebook be? Does that put me at as much risk as doing, say, my online banking?
It does to a degree. If you know, Facebook is a good example. People are inherently lazy when it comes to the internet, so we'll reuse the same password because passwords are hard to remember. You know, James mentioned having a good password, but on a mobile device, a really long, strong password is actually very hard to type in.
Yeah.
So generally, they'll have one password, and it could be the password for all your social media activities. So if I can get that information and sell it on, or contact your friends and say, listen, I'm stuck somewhere, can I have some money? Here's my bank account details. perfect scam gets used a lot today, and a lot of people fall for it.
I've definitely had many of those emails. So basically, what can people do? So, you know, we do need access to the internet, whether that's through ridiculous roaming charges or through free Wi-Fi. How can I, and all our listeners, protect ourselves from these risks?
So there's a couple of things. It's not all doom and gloom. The first thing is stop being so trusting. Just because a network says it's free, automatically think, why is it free? What is it doing with my data? And that's where the big money is being made today, with your data. Secondly, if you are using something like online banking or other financial transactions, make use of a VPN.
What's that then?
So it's a virtual private network, and effectively what it does, it will encrypt your data from your phone through to a trusted server and then onto the internet. So it stops people eavesdropping on your communications.
And how would I find one of those? Can I just Google, sign up for one?
Yeah, Google, not free VPN. I'd go for a paid VPN again. Why is it free? What are they doing with that data?
Oh, yeah.
But they, you know, they cost on average a couple of pounds a month. But if you are mobile and you do rely on your phone a lot, I'd honestly say get hold of a VPN. At Sensepost, we only travel and use VPNs when it comes to our mobiles.
So given that I obviously don't have a VPN and I've just spent the past 2 weeks connecting promiscuously to as many Wi-Fis as I can, is there anything I could do to my phone to check that I'm okay, or should I be changing all my passwords?
I think it's a good idea to change your passwords on a frequent basis anyway. So now's probably a really good time. And it's not a case of panic, oh no, somebody might have got my data.
But well, they kind of have already then, haven't they, I guess.
Then run to the hill screaming.
And broadly, I mean, do you think it's really important that we do try and talk sensibly without panicking too much about these issues?
Definitely. It's not all doom and gloom. You know, and the security industry does like to play down the stuff a lot. But I'd say, listen, common sense has to prevail here.
So be safe and it's okay.
Definitely.
Thank you. That's Daniel Cuthbert from Sensepost.
We'll find out later on in the programme what constitutes a good password too. That's our question of the week, coming up with Amelia Perry later in the programme.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and me, Kat Arney.